So it's Jesus' farewell speech. We started on it last week. Jesus giving words of comfort to his disciples as he says, I'm going to leave. I'm going to die. And today we're experiencing more words of comfort and a promise that the disciples wouldn't be abandoned. And we've also got some instructions from God. And so I wonder, have you ever done something and caused lots of trouble for yourself? You don't have to raise your hands for this. You can just know or not know. Or have you ever helped out someone who was really in a jam? And how often have you been asked to help someone who's put themselves in a very difficult situation? How do you support someone who's made really, really bad decisions? And how can you expect the support of your family, of your friends, when you've completely messed up? For instance, a friend just called from jail. He's been arrested for burglary and needs someone to bail him out. He needs someone to stand beside him through the upcoming trial. Or a relative just called from the courthouse. She's been convicted of writing bad checks and needs someone to help pay her fine, or she'll have to spend 2 months in jail. She needs someone to stand beside her and to vouch for the judge that she'll pay her fine so that she can go home. Or a childhood friend who's mostly an acquaintance just called. He's been in a car accident and has broken both legs. He's asking you to go to his home and to bring clothes and personal items to the hospital, but he's also asking you to call his estranged children. He needs you to support him and help him talk with his family. Each one of these folks represents a difficult situation. Some, if not all, is related to bad decisions that they've made on their part. But each of these people needs someone to support them as they face what's ahead. And in this week's Bible reading from John 14, 15 to 21, that was the reading, Jesus promises that God will send an advocate, or you could translate it a counselor, a comforter, or a helper, so that the disciples won't be abandoned or alone when Jesus leaves. And I wonder, would Jesus have said the same words to another group of people, a group of people he didn't trust? He was with the ones that he trusted the most, his 12 disciples, 11 disciples, because Judas kind of left at that point. Is there anything that we could ever do to make it so God's spirit or counselor, helper, comforter, or advocate would reject us? I don't think it's possible. I think Jesus might have given the same speech to anybody. And I also don't think there's anything that we can do to have God's Spirit reject us. Last week, I pointed out that Jesus' farewell speech is targeting the disciples. And I also pointed out that as it speaks to us, we have to see it through the lens of Jesus giving words of comfort and assurance. I also said last week that we have to understand Jesus' words through the lens of his overall ministry themes of inclusivity, comfort, unity, and love. And that same thing goes on this week. We're in the same passage, essentially. It's just the next verses that we're reading. The disciples had messed up. They'd messed up before. They'll mess up after. They'd messed up again and again and again. And Jesus promised that God would still send an advocate to stand beside them and to help them. And I think that part applies to us. This advocate, this Holy Spirit that Jesus promised to the disciples is here to give us support, to give us comfort, to give us love and care. And I'll get to more of that in a second. But I do wonder, when are there times where Jesus doesn't promise love, support, and care? And usually it's when he's talking to the religious folk, the Pharisees. Listen to Luke 12, first part of chapter 1. Beware of the yeast of the Pharisees, that is, their hypocrisy. And Luke 11, starting at verse 42. But woe to you Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and herbs of all kinds and neglect justice and the love of God. It is these you ought to have practiced without neglecting the others. Woe to you, Pharisees, for you love to have the seat of honor in the synagogues and to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces. Woe to you, for you are like unmarked graves, and people walk over them without realizing it. And then in Matthew 23, starting at verse 13, but woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you lock people out of the kingdom of heaven. You do not go in yourselves, and when others are going in, you stop them. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you cross sea and land to make a single convert, and you make the new convert twice as much a child of hell as yourselves. Woe to you, blind guides, who say whoever swears by the sanctuary is bound by nothing, but whoever swears by the gold of the sanctuary is bound by the oath. You blind fools, for which is greater, the gold or the sanctuary that has made the gold sacred? In case you didn't notice it, these are highly offensive words aimed at the religious folks, and the religious folks did not like to hear it. They conspired against Jesus. But you know, Jesus is still consistent. You know, he says all these things there, but when it comes to the powerful exploiting the powerless, that's where Jesus is less than kind. When it comes to the haves exploiting the have-nots, Jesus' words are less than kind. But even as he calls the Pharisees and the scribes hypocrites, he's reaching out to them in anguish to tell them of his love. Listen, a little later in Matthew 23, it says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often I have desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. Jesus didn't reject the Pharisees and the scribes. He didn't reject the disciples. He didn't reject anyone. His ministry, his life, reveals that God's love, God's comforting spirit is for everyone. No exceptions whatsoever. But then there's that if-then statement right at the beginning. It says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Here's the way that the first readers would have understood it, though, and here's the way that the disciples got it. They said, if you love me, and I know that you do, you will keep my commandments, and I know you do because you love me. That's how it's understood. It isn't actually conditional. We hear it that way, and we think, am I keeping God's commandments? And if I'm not, do I really love him? If I do, do I love him? And does that, what does that reveal? Do I really love God? Do I not love God? And I guess it's legitimate for us to ask that question. And the Bible's written that way because we can only see it from our perspective. But the first disciples didn't get it that way. And the first hearers of the word didn't get it that way. They thought, of course I love God. Of course I follow the commandments. Jesus is just reminding them, this is it. These are words of comfort from Jesus to disciples who are about to lose him, at least in any way that they can understand. So he wasn't making a request. He wasn't even expressing an expectation. Jesus wasn't making a conditional statement. He was making a promise to them that they wouldn't be abandoned no matter what. And Jesus knew the disciples would mess up. They'd done it before, they would do it again. He knew that the road would be difficult ahead. It had been difficult before. It was going to get more difficult after Jesus left. He knew that they would need support, and they would need comfort, and they would need help, and someone to stand beside them. And Jesus promised that support. And that's what we can bring right to our lives today. We are not the 12 disciples, and we mess up all the time, so we've got that in common with the disciples. God knows that we mess up. God knows when we've messed up. God knows we're going to mess up. God knows that our lives and our faith journeys can be difficult. God knows that we need support. God knows that we need comfort. God knows that we need help and someone to stand beside us. This word that's translated advocate, comforter, helper, really fun Greek word called paraclete, which sounds like, paraclete. So you can say the paraclete will come. No, but the paraclete, it's kind of like, you know, the Holy Spirit symbol is a dove. What if it was a paraclete, you know? But paraclete, it literally means one who stands beside. When we say advocate, it's one who advocates for you even when you've messed up. God promises that support of this advocate, this comforter. So when things are at their best, you can know that the Holy Spirit is a helper. And when things are at their worst, you can know that the Holy Spirit is a comforter. When we've done everything right, the Holy Spirit is a counselor. But as we all know, and as all happens, when we've completely messed up, the Holy Spirit is an advocate. Let us pray. Thank you, God, for your forgiveness. Thank you for challenging us to live our lives as you would have us live it. Thank you for the comfort. Thank you for the counseling. Thank you for being our advocate. Amen.